Hallelujah. Isn't God good? So, as I was spending some time with the Lord this week and preparing, trying to prepare my heart for today and to get him, receive a message from him, he mentioned forgiveness, that he would like me to speak on forgiveness, and I didn't remember that I'd ever spoken, that I've ever preached on forgiveness. And so I looked back through my notes from, so I keep notes of who preaches and what they preach on. And as I looked back through maybe 4 years of notes, and none of us four had preached on forgiveness that I know of at any time. So I began to search the scriptures and ask the Lord what he would like me to share. And The Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:12, says, "Forgive us our debts as we ask, and as we also have forgiven our debtors." So there's some requirements to our forgiveness, I've found. But I titled the message today, "Forgiveness, Full Pardon." I don't know if you realize what a full pardon means, but to me, it means no matter what I did, no matter where I came from, God's forgiveness is complete. It's full. He doesn't remind me of anything that I've done. Because there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. He doesn't condemn us. But he gives us a full pardon. And so we want to just look at some scripture today that talk about Jesus' forgiveness for us and also how we're to forgive those who sin or trespass against us, those who offend us in any way. So let's go to the Lord in prayer before I begin. Father, I thank you just for the privilege to be here. Thank you, Lord, for putting this on my heart. And Lord, I just ask that you'll speak through me today. Lord, that I'll not get in your way, but that I'll let you move and do what you want to do in the body of Christ today. And Father, I ask that you'll give us ears to hear what you're saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. I tell you, let's begin in Matthew. Let's go there first. I was admiring the verses that Brother Doug spoke on there this morning. And in 1 John, there's a lot there that talk about our forgiveness and our sins. And as well, since he touched there, I'm not going to go there. None of my notes have those in it. So let's begin in Matthew 6. There are just lots and lots of scripture that talk about Jesus' forgiveness for us, how he doesn't even remember our sins anymore. He throws them as far as the east is from the west into the sea of forgetfulness and so on. And just a lot of scripture that talk about that for us. But what is our responsibility with people who make offense to us? And as I said, in verse 12, it says, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." So the requirement is that we forgive so that he forgives us. It goes on there at the end of the Lord's Prayer, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So, I don't know. How do I want to say this? I can remember times when I held resentment or wanted vengeance or and bitterness welled up within me. And I realize if you don't forgive, it can make you sick. It can make you, it can make you not feel good if you don't forgive. Because I can remember times in my life when I spent too much time thinking about what somebody did that offended me and not saying, Lord, I forgive them, or not going to them and saying, I forgive you. It's important that we go to the one who has offended us. So from there, I looked up forgive. Before I give you the definition, forgiveness is something most of us struggle with because it is contrary to our nature. Human nature is not that way. The sinful man doesn't want to forgive. So it's always a battle between the natural and the spiritual man. So we prefer mercy for ourselves. You know, we've got mercy. God's mercy is what got us a full pardon. We didn't deserve it. We can't do anything to get it except to accept Jesus as Lord and ask for his forgiveness. That's all that it takes to be forgiven. But we want judgment for those who offend us. That's the way our nature is. We want mercy. We want to receive mercy, but we want to get vengeance or get justice for those who offend us. To forgive means to give up resentment against or the desire to punish. And that's something that I struggled with. Because I've always wanted to get even, you know. I don't want to just forgive that easily. But as I looked at the scripture, we have to forgive. But it's to give up resentment against or the desire to punish. It's to stop being angry with. So you have to give up your anger for that person as well. Pardon was the last part of it. And that's why one of the reasons that I put that beside forgiveness. It's full pardon. We give it up. Don't have anything against them anymore. There's two different sentences there. And the second one says to give up all claim to punish or exact penalty for an offense. So we give it all up. And as I said, many of us, that is not the way we feel. So I have to make a statement that I want to be what God wants. I want to do what he wants. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 for a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. So any kind of malice, anger, rage, all of it. Bitterness, we're not to live with any of that. And verse 32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So a full pardon. Forgive with everything that you have. Don't keep any of it. Don't hang on to any of it. I want to look at the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. So, as you all know this story, you've read it a time or two and know it. But the thing that we need to realize in this parable of the Good Samaritan is that the Samaritans were looked down on because Samaria was a town that one of the other kings of the time sent their people to Samaria, and so the Jews always looked that's where they were sent to live, and the Jews always looked down on them because they were aliens. They were different. They weren't part of the Israelites. So that's why the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along. And that's what makes this a story of forgiveness. Instead of, you know, I've used this teaching on the Good Samaritan a time or two when we talk about neighbors. Who's your neighbor? And it's also a very good story on forgiveness. It says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? He was trying to set Jesus up here and trying to see if he could get off with what he wanted to do here. And Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. So these are both leaders in the church. They were both leaders of the Israelites and leaders in the church. The priest was like a pastor, someone who led the Israelites at that time. The Levites were the God's chosen people to hold the sacrifices. They did. They dealt with sacrifices. They led when they came together to worship. The Levites led all of that and took care of all that. They were the only ones who were allowed to go into the Holy of Holies and so on. The priests and the Levites. So that's who this was, and they were used to shunning the Samaritans. Apparently, that kind of reminds me of the Amish today. My brother was coming over to Dad's one day from his house, and he started down Waterford Road there and said there was four or five Amish men walking towards him, and they all turned on the road and put their hands in front of them and stood there with their backs to the road. And Bill went by and he said, well, what are they doing shunning me? And he looked in his mirror and saw a neighbor that was coming behind him, and he had been a Amish and wasn't anymore. So they weren't shunning my brother, but somebody behind him was coming, was following him and down the road because he had left the Amish and was driving a vehicle now. So they were making sure that he knew that he wasn't part of them anymore. And so that's what reminds me of the priest and the Levite here. They saw the guy, went to the other side of the road and walked around, left him laying there. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extras expense that he may have." Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." So, apparently this man who was robbed was a Jew, but a Samaritan, one who had been shunned and offended by the, they just didn't get along with the Jews. The Samaritans didn't, but he went, this Samaritan man went and took care of this Jewish man because he was injured, because he needed help. He took care of it. And so when you see somebody that needs help, don't be afraid to stop, help, take care of them, do whatever needs done, because that is God's way to show mercy, to show compassion. Now let's go over to John, chapter 8. This is the account of the adulterous woman. John chapter 8. I want to begin at verse 1 in John chapter 8. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him. And he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, commanded us to stone such a woman or such women. What do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." So, you see, if we are judging somebody else for an offense, we really don't have any right to do that, because we were all in the same boat, weren't we? We were all sinners, saved by grace. So what are we doing judging one another? Let's let God be the judge. So what's he do? He said, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. It would be so awesome to know what he was writing, and what kind of things he was saying as he wrote on the ground there. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Who has condemned you? Or has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin." So, it's a full pardon. This was just a really good example of someone who got a full pardon, just as we have. Jesus knew what kind of a life she led. He knew exactly where she was from and what she'd been doing. But he said, I don't condemn you either. Go and leave your life of sin. And then in Matthew chapter 7, there's some verses there that talk about judgment. Matthew 7, beginning of verse 1, says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? Pay no attention to the plank in your own eye. That one's easier for me to equate with, because I work with sawdust and lumber. So it's easy to understand the size of a little speck that gets in your eye, or the plank, it says, that you have in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So we're not to judge because we've been there. There's a lot of other verses that talk about God's, about our judging others and forgiving others. I just want to look at a few more of the verses that I have in my Thompson's here that talk about forgiveness. Here is actually where I saw it. So there's just some facts concerning the Samaritans on this story of the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. It says they were colonists whom the king of Assyria sent to inhabit the land of Israel after the captivity, and hence they were despised by the Jews. So that's why they were despised by the Jews, because they were just a group of people that were sent there by a neighboring king, the king of Assyria, just to inhabit the land of Israel. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25 says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. And then Isaiah 44, 22 says, I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. And Isaiah 55, 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. As recipients of God's mercy, we should be grateful for God's grace and quick to forgive others. So as you go this week, just remember to be a forgiver. Forgive so that God can forgive you. As we begin to walk in a life of forgiveness, as God forgave us, what a difference it'll make in the world around us. So as Jesse and I are here, why the praise team will come and sing a final song. If you have any prayer needs at all, why, we'd love to pray with you. If there's anyone who has never accepted the Lord as your Savior and you'd like to do that today, we'd love to pray with you over that and to help you through that process as well. So any needs at all, you're welcome to come and pray with us.